we started this series on why Jesus. And we spoke on, probably the theme word from 2 weeks ago. That word was design. Somebody say design. Say it again. Say design. Design. Design means it's a plan or a drawing. It's produced to show the look and function of workings of a building, garment, or other object. It's before it is built or made. There is design. And we were talking about pretty much life, like all aspects of it, like universe, like earth. There is design all around you. There is purpose all around you. Even in the chaos of our universe, that is like the science would say, this is 13.7 billion years old. There's hundreds of billions of galaxies. There's billions and trillions of stars. There's other planets and all this stuff. And you know what's crazy is that there's design. That there is actual design. You know, some really smart science people, a guy named Richard Feynman, he's a quantum electrodynamics. He got a Nobel Prize in this thing, and he said, why nature is mathematical. Who in here loves math? Taisha loves math. She's a math teacher. Some of y'all, if y'all got problems with math, talk to her. Who over here, you like math? People like math over here? I was okay in it. But here's the crazy thing what Richard said. He says, why nature is mathematical is a mystery. The fact that there are rules at all is a kind of miracle. The universe got all this stuff going on, and we can see that there's math and details in it. It's crazy. You know, even when it comes to the Earth, its size is perfect. The Earth's size and corresponding gravity holds a thin layer of mostly nitrogen and oxygen gases. Did y'all know that? Of course y'all knew that. Y'all go to school. Only extending about 50 miles above the Earth's surface. Are y'all done talking? You done? Because if you want, you can preach if you want. Okay, then, my man. Back to it. Says this. Earth size and is perfect. The Earth's size and corresponding gravity holds a thin layer of mostly nitrogen and oxygen gases, only extending about 50 miles above the Earth's surface. If Earth was smaller, an atmosphere would be impossible. You need an atmosphere to live, y'all. Like the planet Mercury. Mercury can't live on there. If Earth was larger, its atmosphere would contain free hydrogen, like Jupiter. And let me tell you something. You don't want to live on Jupiter. Jupiter's got a nonstop storm all the time, and they get hit with legit asteroids all the time. People, I just look at Jupiter, I just feel sad. I'm like, dang, you a big old thing, you just get rocked. Earth is the only known planet equipped with an atmosphere of the right mixture of gases to sustain plant, animal, and human life. You know what's crazy is this, that man, that scientists have discovered more and more planets out here, but they have there are none that they have seen that actually can sustain life. And it's crazy to see that, man, out of that, there is life here and none that we've discovered anywhere else. Purpose and design. Here's the thing. When you see... what's up? There's a lot of might-haves, but then they start seeing a bunch of stuff that you can't sustain life. It's according to space.com anyway. I'm a subscriber. I like this stuff. So... like I was saying, there is a good amount of detail and design around us to show us that, wait a second, there's something greater. When it comes to like evolution, the Big Bang Theory, the only problem is when I got with that is that, man, that shows that there's no purpose. You can give us the how, but not give us the why. You can learn a bunch of hows, but not know why. Why you exist, why you breathing, why you're here, why you got this, why you got that. And if my thing is this, because a lot of us, we deal with anxiety and depression and all this other madness, and we got a lot of stuff going on in our life, And it's all really tied to the why you're here. And so here's the reality that I just want to bring, is that if you can see design, if you can see details, if you can see order for some reason around us, the question is there order, is there design, is there a way for your life? What's the purpose of your life? We've been on this series of Why Jesus, and I love that. Actually, before I go ahead, it says, let me read some stuff. It said, if we can see that even in the vastness of our universe and the uniqueness of our earth, that there is design and order, then we've got to ask, is there design and an order for life? And if so, then who designed it? What's the design? This is where we get real deep and we ask ourselves, what's the point of life? Again, y'all know my story. I was always a deep kid anyway. In third grade, I'd be the kid that'd be tripping out at night, looking outside, going into school the next day. Everybody's tripping off the new episode of SpongeBob and Rugrats. And I ask, hey, does anybody know why we're here? No? Okay, yeah, that episode was good. We don't ask these questions because we don't like actually going into those moments. But I love that Jesus said something that's so profound. You see, here's the reality, y'all. You will constantly look for happiness. You will constantly look for love. You will constantly look for connection. You will constantly look for affirmation, success, wealth. Who in here, you want to have success, right? Like, oh my goodness, like I want to be successful. I don't even know what that, like what the definition of successful would mean to you. But for the most part, everybody wants to be successful. Everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to be affirmed. Actually, even Pastor Josh had a banging message on these past Wednesdays on I Am Loved. That, man, you are hardwired to look and to for love and to be loved. You can't go through life without that. And if you don't have it, you will look for it in the most unhealthiest ways. You'll look for it in the most unhealthiest ways. We will like, let me not go that down that way. Anyways, people say the point of life is to find love, happiness, success, wealth. But that's not the source. And Jesus says something that's in John 17:3, which is pretty much, I say, the scripture where that's the nutshell of the whole Bible. If you get that thing, you'll get everything. If you get that, you'll get everything. You'll get the point and why this thing is here. You get the point of why you're alive. You get the point of why you should read your Bible. You get the point of why you should walk this way. You get the point of why you should follow Jesus. It's because it's that thing right there, John 17:3. And this is the way to have eternal life. Let's pause right there real quick. You know what eternal means? Forever. And ever. And ever. And ever. And ever. And ever and ever, that does not stop. Here's a part that y'all gonna have to, let's go down the kind of the rabbit hole real quick. Do you know that first and foremost, life doesn't stop after death? Do you know that, listen, I know there's a lot of people that believe that, after this, man, you're just here, you're here for your, you know, just a flash in the pan, you're going to be alive for maybe 80, 90 years, if that, not maybe 100 years, 120 years, maybe, and then you're gone and you'll never exist. You're just going to nothing. Nah. Eternal means forever. And the Bible says this, that man, after this life, there is actually like the real thing. Like you have a eternal spirit. Not just here by accident again. Eternity is forever. Even the, shoot, I would say the number, like I said, the scientists would say the universe is 13.7 billion years old. That's a drop. That's a raindrop in a bucket in an ocean compared to eternity. Your 90 years of life on the is a, not even a cough into eternity. And what you do here dictates what you do in the next life. What you do and where you go. In John 17:3, and this is eternal life. Or this is the meaning and the purpose of life. Man, I love this scripture. If you've heard me preach on anything, you probably heard this before. This is eternal life, that you would know the only true God, that they would know you. And Jesus Christ whom he sent. This is the meaning of life, that you would know God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. Why is there life? So you would know him. Why you got breath in your lungs? So that you would know him. Why are you here? So that you would know him. So you would know the truest source of life, of joy, of peace, of love. All of the things that we are wired looking for, it is all found in God. I used to be wide open. I used to be open to a slew amount of stuff. I used to try to find fun in life and everything else. People, entertainment, shoot, name it. Again, I told y'all, I got a doctorate in all things nerd or sports or whatever. Relationships. Shoot, we can talk on all of that. And really, what we all are looking for is actually just to be known and just to be loved. And in that right there, that's the answer. You see, the design of this life, the purpose of this life is to know God. He set this thing up. God created the heavens and the earth. When there was nothing, there was God. And when he spoke, there was. He put everything into order. He makes all of creation. He makes planets. He makes stars. He makes galaxies. He makes nature. He makes it all. And then he does something. Genesis 1:26 says this. Then God said, let us make human beings, or man, meaning male and female, in our image. Human beings in our image. I love how he said, again, let us. You see, you got in the beginning, you got God the Father, you have God the Son, and you have God the Holy Spirit. Reason why we need to have like some foundational stuff, because again, following Jesus, let me not. Keep on going. I must start going ahead of myself. So let us make human beings in our image. That word image is translated into meaning shade. Interesting. Or even a clearer meaning, silhouette. So who in here, you've been in somewhere bright, or you went outside and it was a super bright day and the sun was beaming on you and you could see your shadow. You can see like a silhouette of yourself. See, if a strong light was shown directly at you and projected onto a flat surface, then that outline could be traced and a silhouette or likeness produced. You see, here's the thing. We were made in the image of God, or the likeness of God. meaning this, that we would have authority like God. We would have knowledge like God. We would have a moral character and a compass like God. We would know things like right and wrong because God gave us that knowledge. We would actually be aware. We had power. We had authority. The awesome thing you see in the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, you have God give man and Adam and Eve authority over pretty much all that he created. God had this dope science project. He was like, yo, I'm going to make it, and you'll be a part of it too. And that was supposed to be the purpose of our life, that, man, that we would be not just doing stuff for God, but we'd be connected with him. You got scriptures in the Bible, in Genesis, where it talks about that, man, that God would walk with Adam in the cool of the day. You got, again, the first representation of man, and you have this connection with God, that, man, this dude would walk with God, like you and me would be walking in the park. He'd have a connection with God. He would have a relationship and a foundation with God. He would recognize who he is, and he would be known by God. That's how it's supposed to be designed. Again, that's the whole, hey, we can know God. Only problem is we got a lot of problems that we see in our world. We have ability to think like God. We have a character like God, and he's given us ability to lead like him. He gave us a free will. Everybody say that with me. Say free will. Say it again. Say free will. Why would God give us free will? I was talking to a kid. I've been talking to a lot of kids. Or even like whether kids who be just straight, who be more atheists, or people just more atheists. I love talking to people who don't believe stuff like me, because I used to believe the same stuff. And the thing is, I was talking to him, and he was like, "Why would God not make us like robots? Why wouldn't he just give us the ability to innately do what's right? Why did he give us a choice?" Because we're going to see in a minute that, oh man, because we had a choice, we chose something wrong. Why would God give us free will to choose? Can I tell you something? That choice is love. Love is the reason why we have free will. Love is the reason why we have free will. Love to the point where, listen, you have a will when it comes to choosing God or not choosing God. You have this ability to make a choice to love someone or to love and or not to. You have this thing that God gives us, this free will. For the whole purpose that we would choose him. Choosing God, like I used to have this twisted perspective of love. I really did. I used to thought, man, that, or even when it comes to marriage, like God was going to tell you somebody, and they were going, you were made to marry that person, or you were made to be with that, or whatever. And here's the problem: is that God ain't set that sucker up, and that's not right. You have a choice. I used to think like, man, if you just knew. God, like if God said, hey, that's your wife right there, or that's your hub, I was like, oh, it's all going to work out because God told you. Nah, that's not it. You're actually going to have to continue to choose that person, even when you don't feel like it. Nick like, brother, you know it. He said, I got married. I know what this is. That's true. It's choice. God gives us a choice. He gave Adam and Eve, he gives us a choice to love him. He gives it. Because nobody wanted to be made to love. It's not going to make anybody. And so even to the extent with people who don't choose God. Because here's the thing. People that always get so upset when it comes to, well, how can a loving God send people to hell? How can a loving God send this and this? Whoa. How can we reject and choose ourselves and what we want over a loving God? Like, wait a minute. First and foremost, sin, where sin started was actually in heaven with the angels. We have this title of Lucifer. He was man. He was pretty much the prince, the cherub. This joker had authority, and he was glorious and beautiful. And guess what? In his heart, he said, "Man, I should be God." And so what ends up happening, he talks with other angels. Guess what ends up happening? They go to the throne. They got one third of the whole angels. And he says, "Hey, God, you've had a pretty good reign, but I think I should be God." And so that's what's happening. So in that moment, God's like, "Oh, bet." Bang, Satan fell like lightning. It won't even know fight. It won't know, oh man, this super anime scene where we're fighting and battling, and then there's a whole lot of command. There ain't nothing. It was like lightning. Snap of his fingers, bang. This ain't a fair fight. And that joker is cursed. But that seed of I want to be in control. I want to be God. I want to be this. I should choose this. Here's the reality. Choice. God gives us a choice to serve him. God gives us a choice to love him. God gives us a choice. But here's the ramifications of our choice is that, man, when we don't choose God, it's actually we're not choosing just God. We're not choosing life. You see, God is more than just like everything good is God. And when we don't choose God, we choose not life. That's why in the Bible it says this when God tells Adam that, yeah, you can have eat of any of the fruit in the garden except from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't choose it. Don't eat that, because when you eat of it, you'll surely die. Death is this separation from God. Separation from God. Here's the thing. There is life and there is a choice, because love must express itself. You got to understand, God created us, created life, because love cannot exist centered in itself. In 1 John, you see this reality that God is love. If you're looking for love, you're looking for God. And so love by its very nature, must expand. Love has the capacity to create and bring others into being, and will do so for the sake of expressing itself. That includes multiplying, sharing, and risk-taking. Can I tell you this? That love is risky. What happens, like, okay, on a super small scale, we've been in school. You see your crush. Oh my God, there he is. Oh my God, there he is. Oh my goodness, there she go. There she go. You mustered up courage one day. Button yourself up. Tuck in your shirt. No, you don't. You're just like, who tucks in shirts? You get your edges snatched real good. Ladies, don't do that though. let the guy come to you though. No, there ain't nothing wrong with it, but let the guy come to you. Anyways, I'm talking from a guy's perspective. Okay, you see the girl, he's like, okay. Breath good. Good enough, all right. Try to walk all smooth like Camonte. Looking all smooth. What happened? And you start trying to talk, but words don't come out. But so you just say something like, "We should get married." What? No. But no, you risk, you say, hey, so I like you. And in that moment, you have this, what are they going to say back? What if they say, no? What if they say, ah, you busted? Why would you, ah? You get that moment. It's risky. It's super risky. Can I tell you, like, all of that in every form of type of love, family, friends, like it's not just romance. Love is risk taking in everything. I remember, man, there's this truth that Pastor Josh told me. I need to wrap up. Pastor Josh said this one time. I remember when Zara was born, Pastor Josh's daughter. I was like, man, this is his firstborn kid. And I'm like, yo, bro, so how does it feel to have a child? How does it feel to have a daughter? He said, man, I felt two things clearly. He said, first thing, there was nothing this girl could do or even had done for me not to love her. There's this deep love that was born in me for this girl. She had not done a thing right. She has not done anything successful. There was nothing. It was just her existence that brought him love and joy. I'm sharing the story of when you first told me about Zara being born. He's like, did I tell you something? What? You probably don't remember. You told me two things, and I was like, man. Anyways, he told me that first thing. He said, and the second thing, I knew that she would never love me as much as I love her. He said that. You remember that, right? You did say that. I'm not just making that up. He said, I knew in that moment she would never love me as much as I love her. I started thinking about my own parents. And I was like, yeah, I know my parents love me. I know my mom loves me way more than I love my mom. I love my mom. I love my parents. But there's levels. For real. Like, there's just flat out levels. It's like, I know, wow, mom loves me. I don't call my mom enough. I'm 32 this year. I don't call my mom enough. I know my mom loves me like, baby, are you okay? I've been eating good. To this day. I know when he said that, I could see, oh, snap, that's how God is. God, and here's another thing, man. I'm just saying stories. I heard a story one time. There's a serial killer in the United Kingdom. And he had gotten caught. And he's done these atrocities. He does these terrible things. He was getting sent to jail. He's been put on trial and all that. And the media picked up that his mom had gone to visit him. And they were like, how could you visit a monster? How could you visit her? How could you visit this monster? And even up to that point, with her son doing all these atrocities, she says this, he's still my son. He's still my son. Oh, man, how much does God love us when we reject him and hate him and don't want nothing to do with him, yet he still visits us. He still desires us. He still wants us. The Bible says it's even when we were still yet sinners, enemies of God, people who don't want his rule, people who don't want to obey, people who don't want him, he still died for us. That's love. Why do we have life? Is because there is love. Why are you alive? Because you are alive to be loved. Radically loved by God. And to know his love and to love him in return. The reality, though, is because we have choice, is that we can reject God. And when we reject God, we are rejecting who he is, what he has. And we're actually being more like Lucifer than him. We're saying, God, I don't need you. I want to be my own God. I want to have my own form. So that's why when it comes to when you see the Bible, when he says, hey, this is wrong, this is evil, this is wicked, this is what sin is. Sin is this in the Bible, when it comes to the meaning of sin, what is sin? Missing the mark or distorting the design. When we sin, it's us choosing that and us rejecting God. And this is why there's so many people are like, why is that? Why is these people still alive? This people so evil. This person so wicked. This person so, there's a slew amount of people that, man, even like slew amount of people. Wicked, evil people in history and even on this planet today. Bible says this, even though I'm like, hey, if you sin, you're just like that guy. That all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. And that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. When Adam sinned, death came into the world, y'all. When Adam sinned, a lot of us were like, why is the world the way it is? Why is it designed like this? It wasn't designed like this. Sin came into the world because Adam and Eve chose themselves and their own lust over real love. And so what ends up happening, sin enters the world. There is so much darkness, there's so much wickedness, there's so much twisted perversion in this world. It's all based on that. But here's the thing, Romans 12 and then Romans 15. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Like there's another scripture says this, that the little g, God of this world, has blinded those. When we're born into this world, born apart from God. So we're born in sin. So the Bible says this, though. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone. Separation. Separation spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. Verse 15, for the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace. What is grace? Undeserved favor, undeserved blessing, undeserved gifts. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. You know what I love about Jesus is that every other religion talks about what you have to do to get to God. Jesus has done all things, so he's done everything so that you can get to him. This isn't about you trying to get to God. This is about you recognize what God's done to get to you. Some of y'all been struggling your whole life. You've been having anger towards God, towards parents, towards situations, towards everything. You've been sick in your own soul. Your own mind, will, and emotion is been twisted and perverted because of trauma and pain. And I cannot tell you this, the remedy is still God's love. Can I tell you that the remedy is this, that you would know that he calls you son and he calls you daughter. On Father's Day today, let me tell you about the greatest father. That when we were apart from him, he sends his son to be the atonement, to be the sacrifice. Because again, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. When you receive Jesus, you choose that. You choose real life. You choose real love. So, every head down, not every head down, everybody just stand up. God's done a lot of things, y'all. God has done so much. Whether you're aware of it or not, whether you want him or not, let me tell you something. God don't, you know what's crazy? When I did not want anything to do with God, God still wanted to do stuff in my life. Y'all might not know this, but I told y'all. I remember when I said, I'm done with you, I'm done with this, and I'm gonna do me. I remember when I said that. And I remember being in my job in the mall, and I was selling hats, some fitteds, and I felt God in my store, and I heard his voice, and he said, "You're gonna come back to me." That's God. Even when you don't want him, God will draw you. I want you to just, if you're in this room, I'm kind of done doing like the whole like church stuff. If you're in this room and you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that's how you know God. And this is eternal life, that you would know God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one knows God except through that man. And next week, we're going to talk about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. But if you don't know Jesus, on the count of three, I just want you to raise your hand, and we're going to invite him to be Lord and Savior of your life. So 1, 2, 3, if you don't know Jesus, if you're saying, "Man, I don't know God, I want to know God, I want to know Jesus." Awesome. If you're in this room then, and you battle with knowing love, like real love, like God's love, the Bible says this, Ephesians 3, that you would know, if you're in this room, you've already received Jesus, the Bible says this is your inheritance, that you would know the love of God that surpasses all understanding. If you're in this room, you're like, "Man, I want to know the love of God that blows my mind. I want to know it." Not when you know something, you don't wait for the experience, but the experience does come. If you're in this room, matter of fact, I feel like this is just an everybody type thing. I want you just to lift your hands. Yeshua, I thank you right now. You know every single heart. You know every single pain. You know every single wounding. You know our past. You know what things that are keeping us from knowing your love. Abba, I thank you right now that grace is stronger than any type of wounding. Grace is stronger than any type of sin. Grace is stronger than any type of demonic oppression. Grace is stronger than any type of crazy upbringing we might have had. Grace is stronger than our apathy. Grace is stronger than any type of thing that would try to separate us from your love. I thank you right now that Romans 8 is real, that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would, Lord, deepen us in this real thing. Don't let us be deceived and think that we don't need this. Don't let us be deceived, God, to think that we can find real love or your love in twisted, perverted things. Lord, help us. I thank you right now, Lord, that you are doing something in this room. That you're doing something like you did in my life. That even when I didn't want you, you wanted me, and you made sure that I would know that. God, I thank you right now that you're making kids aware how much you're near them, even when they don't want you. I thank you right now, God, that kids are going to have more experiences like I did in my store, where they would recognize you in their car, they would recognize you in their room, they would recognize your voice, Lord. I thank you right now, Lord, that's real. Don't let us, Lord, continue to fall by the wayside, but God, I pray, Lord, that we would, Holy Spirit, be convinced of what you do, and that we'd be convicted of our even our own sin and own rebellion against you, and that we would choose you, God. We bless you, we honor you, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.